الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة، قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك، قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون. There is a conversation that is taking place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the angels that I'm going to create a representative on earth. Now the question remains, why must Allah talk to the angels and why must Allah tell the angels what He's going to do? Allah does not need the angels. Allah does not need to even accept the opinion. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell to the angels that I'm going to create a vice general on earth? And also, why is it that the angels turn around and tell Allah that are you going to create something on earth that creates bloodshed, that creates a lot of feud, a lot of problems? So on the one hand, the first question is, does Allah need to discuss with the angels? And the second thing is, why must the angels tell to Allah that insan is going to create a problem? And this is a fair question, because if an angel is how we view an angel, then an angel should not discuss anything back, should not dialogue back. They must just do as they are told. And both these questions will be appropriate. One is, Allah is teaching us the value of taking part in what is known as consulting or mashura or discussion back and forth, even though you may know a lot more. So for example, Allah is teaching us that yes, your family may know less than you, but it does not mean you must ignore them. And it doesn't mean that when they give you their opinion, you have to take their opinion and only listen to them. Opinion does not always mean that your opinion is also right. Nor does it mean that your opinion that you are sharing with the one that is asking you more valued and more valid than what they have in mind. So the first rule we learn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that we should discuss with one another regarding our various issues. And we should not be offended when the other person doesn't accept our opinion. And nor should we feel that our opinion, because it is not accepted by others, it is invalid. That's what Allah is teaching us, number one. Number two, as far as the angels are concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sense certain things, gain certain type of insight, or understand certain things will take place regarding the creation. And that is why they said insan, after being created, is going to create tremendous amount of evil. And O Allah, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. O Allah, as far as we are concerned, we remember you, we praise you, we talk about how great you are, how great your being is. That's all we do. That's all we do. Now why are you going to create something out there that is less superior to what you have created us with, which is tremendous amount of angelic worthiness? Allah says, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." Qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. O angels, understand full well that I'm aware of something that you are not aware of, and therefore your duty is to now do as you are told. So the main lesson for us is we must discuss, even though we feel someone is not as great as we are, we should include them in our discussions, talk to them about our discussions. Even if you have children and you are going, let's say, out of state or somewhere, you give them warning in advance. You know, I'll be going out, we'll be going here, we'll be going there. What do you think about it? Children, although they may just give passive answers like, yeah, very good, it'll be fun. Or sometimes they got something up their sleeves, they may say things like, no, I don't want to go. They want to take summer school. Why they take summer school? Not because they like summer school and they don't want to go on a holiday. They got other mischief on their mind. They want to meet friends after school. They want to do this. So children have their own thing in their brains. But Allah says, you can still discuss. You can still come up with ideas. You can still share ideas. And because you share ideas with them, doesn't give them the right to say, well, because now you shared an idea with me, you have to listen to me. Because that's what children do, and that's what sometimes families do. They say, you asked me, now why are you doing something else? Well, the lesson from here is, because I ask you does not mean I have to listen to you, and because you ask me doesn't mean you have to listen to me. It's opinion. It's washawirum fil amr. فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله. We make mashura, we discuss. And thereafter, inshallah, we make the best decision thereafter. وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, taught Adam alayhi salam certain names. Now there is a huge discussion in the tafsir, what are the names? Were they told to say certain things? Was he told to mention certain things? Did they not know those things? Did they know those things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created something in insan that he has not created generally in every other creature. And in as far as animate objects are concerned, they have certain things in them that is part of them without them even learning. For example, a child when it's being fed, when it's born, nobody teaches a child this is how you must drink milk from your parents. There is no class a child goes for, nothing. In fact, you also look at certain animals that they are born, and once they are born, they know exactly on how to take care of that child or that entity that is born thereafter. So Allah is saying something here that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying he taught Adam alayhi salam the names, and according to some, he gave human insan certain instinct, certain thing within itself, and those things are at times a matter of choice. Angels do not have choice. They can't say, well, I want to worship but I don't want to worship, I will think about worshipping. They don't do that. They don't have that luxury. If an angel is appointed to take away life, that angel takes away life. If that angel is told to drop rain at a certain place, it'll make sure rain drops at a certain place. There is no choice, well, I'm not going to drop today because it's a little cloudy and the people are already feeling very weak and very gloomy in this given area, so I don't want to take away the gloom even more, so I'm not going to drop water. An angel does not have choice, whereas insan and animate objects sometimes are given, of course, certain choice. We may call it instinct, we may call it whatever you want. Allah says, this is what I've given insan. So, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he taught Adam alayhi salam the names or the quality of certain things, and thereafter presented these things before the angels, and he said to the angels thereafter that inform me of these given names. أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَالِحِينَ. If you really think that you are so great, you are so good, you are so all these wonderful things, he told the angels, if you think you are so great, then give me the names or the qualities of all these things that I have asked Adam alayhi salam, and the answer he gave me. Of course, they could not answer, because as I said, humans, therefore, in the eyes of Allah, can have a greater outcome than that of angels. Humans can have a greater outcome than that of angels because humans have a choice. Do good or do bad. Follow haq or follow batil. And when they make a good choice, the reward is very, very good. And when they make a bad choice, the reward is very bad because they had a choice to do good. Angels are not given this luxury. That is why some people say, Shaitan became Shaitan after being an angel. Some people say, when I say the awam, the average, they say, Shaitan used to be a very good angel, but when he didn't obey Allah, he became Shaitan. No, that's not true. Shaitan was never an angel. He couldn't have been an angel, because an angel doesn't change. An angel is what Allah made it, and he continues. Of course, if Allah wants it to change, then it's different. So as far as Shaitan is concerned, he was not amongst, as they say in the Quran, he was really not amongst the angels. He was, inshallah, some other time we'll talk about who he was, what he was, etc. But he was from a different, let's just say, species altogether. As you know, you get insan, you get jinnat, you get good insan, bad insan, you get angels, you get jinn, you get good jinn, you get bad jinn, you get shaitan. And shaitan, many will say, is closer to jinn. And as far as jinn are concerned, there are those that are good, but most of them are very, very mischievous in nature. And I'll tell you one true story, talking of jinn. Jinn are very, very evil. There was a fellow in South Africa. This guy was unique. He says, I was a student back then. He says, you know, if you become friends with me, my jinn can teach you very good things. My jinn can teach you hadith. My jinn can teach you sharia. My jinn can teach you things that can make you a very good mufti, he said. I said, why can your jinn teach me, Shaykh? Tell me why. He says, my jinn is a sahabi. That's what he says. My jinn is a sahabi. I said, how do you know? He says, my jinn used to be there at the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My jinn used to be there. And it is still living. And today it is my jinn. I said, your jinn is a sahabi. And your jinn is going to talk to a person like you after seeing Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your jinn is going to talk to you. Your jinn is going to come to me. Your jinn is going to be in South Africa. It's going to be over here. It's going to leave Makkah and Medina. And it's a Sahabi jinn. And come to South Africa, Johannesburg. And I said, you know what you're talking? He says, no. He says, whatever you want from Makkah and Medina, my jinn will bring it to you right now. So if you want a hat from Makkah, it'll bring it to you to prove to you that it is a good jinn, not a bad jinn. I said, you know, this is really wrong type of thinking. This is really wrong type of thinking. So I said, so tell me something. So that means if you want a hadith, how do you get the hadith? He's telling me, Sheikh, you asked me a very good question. When I want a hadith, I ask my jinn if he heard the hadith. Then the jinn will give me the hadith. So instead of saying an Abu Huraira, I can say from my jinn that I heard the hadith because the jinn was there, he's saying, at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what I'm saying is, I said, you know what? Whatever help you want to give, whatever you want to do in our madrasa, you're welcome to do it, but stay far from me. Because this is open shaitaniyat. This is open behavior of what Dajjal would like. This is open fitna. And this is the type of people you get out there. So you have to be very careful with some of these people you come in contact with. Now maybe he was good, maybe he was not, but regarding this, definitely it just did not make sense to a normal person. So anyway, so what I'm trying to say is there are some jinn that are good, and there are some that are very bad, and there are some that will trick you and do a lot of wrongful things. Inshallah, we'll talk about that in another ayah where Allah SWT talks about this type of thing as well. So as far as the angels are concerned, they said the following, that, you know, in reality, we don't know and we don't have these qualities that Allah has given Adam alayhi salam. And of course, Allah knows best what Allah has taught Adam alayhi salam. We don't know it and we made a mistake. In fact, they said, قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا, that, oh Allah, you are most pure, you are most awesome, you are most great, you are most everything that is the best of best. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا, and in reality, we have no knowledge in comparison to you, illa ma 'allamtana, and whatever knowledge we have, it is only because whatever you, O Allah, have taught us. Innaka antal alimul hakim, and as far as you are concerned, you are the most knowledgeable, the most wise, and the most everything that is good in nature. Thereafter, Allah said, "Qala ya Adamu anbi'uhum bi asma'ihim," that He said to Adam alayhi salam, that inform them, that means inform the angels as to all these things. And of course, now Allah, what we will say here is trying to reform the angels and trying to guide them. And this is something else again we learn, that sometimes a person may have a low opinion of someone or something, then when the time is right, we call that someone or something and help them teach the others, that others where they had wrongful opinion of that beginning thing to begin with. So now Adam alayhi salam is trying to change, or is trying to help the angels in making the angels realize, well, Allah made it such that teach them all these beautiful things that I have taught you, and make them realize that inshallah, if insan continues to do good, they will able to have the ability to change humanity and create change in this world. But if insan wishes to do bad, then they will destroy themselves and destroy others. Now the question is, so regarding the previous scenario, so why does insan run behind jinn? The answer is, and why does jinn take control of insan? Jinn takes control of insan because jinn wants to laugh at insan. Because the jinn are fully aware You read Surah Jin, Allah tells us this in the Quran very openly, that Allah gave insan the most amount of intelligence, the most amount of taqwa, gave insan ashraf al-makhluqat, it made it an extremely supreme creation. That's the strength Allah gave insan. However, as far as insan is concerned, it doesn't want to do good things. It wants to do a lot of bad things. So now jinn come and they try to control insan and they pick on insan and they laugh at insan and say to insan, Allah made you the best, but today you have to depend on me. You have to depend on me to get your work done. Therefore, I mean, you look at the stories of Imam Malik and many others, Allah gave them so much taqwa, that if something was troubling someone, and Imam Malik just looked at that person and said, leave this person, don't trouble him, the jinn would leave. That's the taqwa Imam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave certain true scholars of deen. They didn't have to do anything beyond, they just say leave, and the jinn would leave. In fact, some people even say, not only some people say, we know from authentic places, the shaitan was even afraid to walk on the same street as the khalif. If he knew Sayyidina Abu Bakr, for example, was somewhere, shaitan would run away. That's the power Allah gave insan. Allah made insan very, very strong. But insan doesn't want to be strong. Insan wants to follow itself, its nafs. It wants to follow other insan. It wants to follow jinn and follow shaitan. And as a result, Allah made us very, very weak. Allah made us very, very weak. Now we have to go back to the beginning and make ourselves strong again by turning to Quran and Hadith. So it says, فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ. And when Adam alayhi salam informed the angels of the names and with the reason for their creation, and the reason for why Allah is now creating insan, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after said, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O angels, did I not tell you that I know things that you are unaware of? I know things that are very much hidden, things that are secret in nature. Allah is telling you and I, when I tell you to do something, your duty is to do it and not question it. If this is what I told you, what you should eat, how you should dress, how you should function, then you should do it in that given way. There's no need for you to question it. And you must understand, that questioning it will only create more problems. For example, there's one guy was saying, there were some doctors and they were talking, like for example, they were saying, you know, in Islam, let's take something simple as a beard. Now you look at a beard, it just looks like a beard, like there's no reason behind it. And this is nothing against people that have beard or don't have beard. Nothing, it's nothing to do with that. Islam says, for example, keep a beard, sounds very simple. But you know, there's a lot of health benefits regarding it as well. And doctors are not talking about it. For example, there are certain bacteria that instead of it growing in your nose, it now sits on your mustache and then it gets cleansed off. So instead of going into your nose, it's waiting over here, it gets washed off. There are certain types of weather conditions that people thrive better when they have certain type of facial hair on them versus those that don't. Now we're not talking about you must have a beard or don't have a beard. There's nothing to do with that at all. Allah, through His Prophet ﷺ, mentions certain things. Whether you do it or not is irrelevant. But according to the hadith, and according to the scholars, this is what we learn, something very important. Every hadith, we may not know why it exists. If you listen to this very carefully, every hadith, we may not know why it exists. But definitely, there is no hadith or Quranic ayah that we can ever say misguided or led us to a wrongful outcome. Therefore, in the Quran and Hadith, whatever, whether it's eating, whether it's drinking, whether it's clothing, you'll always see there is a benefit for us. Either we know of its benefit immediately, or we'll find out about its benefit down the line. But you will eventually, either it is now or later, you'll find it. But nobody can ever say this certain thing or this certain food that Muslims drink or this certain things or this certain food they eat or this drink they drink in is not beneficial from an Islamic point of view. And this is a very, very important thing. Take, for example, alcohol. Now, people may have said over the years, we don't know why, but there is benefit. But we know there is more harm than benefit. Take pork, for example. We know there is more harm than benefit. Take, for example, meat that is not slaughtered in the name of Allah. Meat that is just falling from a building and dies. We know that there is certain blood that sits in that animal over a long period of time versus the animal that is slaughtered where the blood comes out. So the blood that is in there, that is sitting for a long period of time, is not very healthy compared to an animal that is drained fully in as far as through the proper method of slaughtering is concerned. So from this we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these rules and regulations, and all the rules and regulations are there to benefit us. We may not know of his benefit, but the benefit will come into existence. Even you take economic policies, for example, these people that involve themselves in margin calls, that deal in stocks, those people that deal in extensive riba and interest, and the list goes on and on, and not paying a person on time and delaying payment. Or for example, me and you are in the deal, transaction, and you walk away. The deal has ended thereafter. Now Sharia wise, when you walk away and you don't complete the deal, there is no deal. Now I can't say, well, you know, based on my culture, the deal must continue, therefore this, therefore that. No, there's a reason why Islam says the deal comes to an end. Because when you walk away from that transaction, before it has been completed, by the time you come back, things can change. Take for example, if you are buying oil. You know, there last week, there were times in which if you bought oil for, let's say, $36 a barrel, by the time you walked out that door and came back in, it fell to $34 a barrel. $2 difference. Let's say you're buying 1 million barrels. There's $2 million change right there. So Islam is saying, that means either I can get hurt or you can get hurt in that deal. So Islam is saying, while you are together, you make your deal. But once a person goes away, then you don't run behind him and say, well, you know, last week you came and then you walked away. All that doesn't work. So in Islam, whatever the rules of Islam is, it may not make sense to you and I right now. It may not create any justification or goodness to you and I. But Allah is saying, and Allah has proven it, the hadith has proven it, that immediately you will not find benefit. But if you think about it, or you study the consequences of it, you will definitely see more benefit than harm. So Allah is saying the same thing here. أَقُلْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That did I not tell you all, telling the angels and teaching us, that verily I know something that you don't know about. I know things regarding the unseen, whether it is in the skies or whether it's in the earth, you don't know about it. I know about it, and therefore your duty is to follow it. And talking of the skies, I mean, people say there are so many things up there that we don't even know of. There are so many different planets. How many planets are there? You go to school? How many planets are there? Are they finding out about new planets and new things all the time, right? So how many? Infinite. Allah is infinite. Allah is for unlimited. But more and more, right? More and more. So there is a lot of new things. That's what Allah is saying, غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ. I know about the samawat and the skies, things you don't know about. And you will carry on finding about it. And whatever you find out, a mistake, you may say infinite. But what it means is, it's finite, but infinite to our knowledge. What it is? Finite or infinite?
Finite.
Finite, but you say infinite. Yes, it's infinite to us because it is carrying on, but finite and limited because Allah has a limit on everything. And that's not only the skies, also the earth itself. I mean, people are digging in the ground and they're finding out things that are unheard of, whether it's resources in various parts of the world. And also in the oceans, there are certain parts of the ocean you cannot even go. It's that dark. It is that dark, right? You read about it, National Geographic? They talk about all these things. So Allah is saying, قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Did I not tell you that I know the unseen, wherever the unseen may be. وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very beautiful. And I know what you make known as well as what you don't know. He's telling the angels something very important. that you may think I asked you the question about Adam alayhi salam before anyone thinks that I didn't know the answer. Allah is saying, I knew the answer before you gave it. I wanted to see your response so that way I can judge you accordingly. Because if I gave you the answer, you'll say, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's what children do. Whenever you give a child an answer, what he says, that's exactly what I was thinking. Before the 5 exams in a row he failed or she failed, all of a sudden the 6th one, when you give the answer, what they say, but if I took the exam, I would have gotten an A+. That's how children are. That's how people are. They always know it. So Allah is saying, I know your trick, that you like to claim that you know everything. So I wanted to test you. Number one. Number two, if Allah knows who's going to go to Jannah and Jahannam, Allah knows who's going to go to Jannah and Jahannam. So on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah put everyone in Jannah and everyone in Jahannam, what the people of Jahannam are going to say to Allah? They're going to say, no, no, no. If Allah, you gave me a chance and you showed me the Prophet ﷺ, I would have definitely been a Muslim. That's what we will say. That's how humans are. So Allah puts us in the world. He knows whether we're going to go to Jannah or Jahannam. He knows. He knows whether we're going to be Muslim or non-Muslim. But He wants to give us the choice. Thereafter, once we make the mistake, then He can say on the day of Qiyamah, this is my proof, this is what you did, I gave you the choice, you knew haq, you knew batil, you chose batil, now you got to pay the price for it. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. When we told the angels prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, that means make sujood, لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. They all made sajda except Iblis. This is mustathna, this is what the people say, this is what the mufassirin have said. Because the word illa Iblis comes, they all prostrated except Iblis. It means that Iblis was not part of the angels. Because he told to the malaika and they all made sujood. Illa Iblis. Iblis did not make it. And according to some, because he is part of a different group, his name was Azazil. He was according to some, that he was not an angel, but he lived amongst the angels. The ulama also say from this that if you are around good people, you can become a good person. But because you are a good person, doesn't mean you'll always remain a good person, because if you go into bad company, they can also destroy you. Many people came from overseas. I meet people from Somalia, I meet people from Iraq, I meet people from Afghanistan, I meet people from Jordan. They come, some of them come in the office and they cry. This is what they say. Sheikh, I memorized the Quran. I knew the Quran. One guy even told me he performed Taraweeh Salah for 7 to 8 years in his country. He says, I came to America. I started working. He says, today when I look at the Quran, I even make mistakes looking inside. Why? The environment. He says, there I used to teach Quran. I used to perform Salah, I used to perform Taraweeh, I used to read in Ramadan no less than 10 to 15 full Quran by memory, he told me. Good brother. Many of the young brothers, they used to do this. When they're young, you probably know of cases. They read a lot of Quran in their country. Then they come in America, they forget to read. They go to work, they work in gas station, they work here, they work. 10 years, 15 years. Some brothers even forgot to perform Salah. Some brothers, they actually have forgotten to perform Salah. On Fridays, if you sit over here, you must see, some people come in, those that are new. They come in, they don't even know what a masjid, they forgot what a masjid looks like. They don't even know where to walk in. They don't even know how to walk, because they have not walked into the masjid for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. Some people come in, they don't make wudu, because they even forgot how to make wudu, or they don't even know how to make wudu. So, this is what happens when you change your environment. When you're around good people, you will do good things. And you go around bad people, then their behavior and their qualities will also come around you. And those of you that are children, that have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You look at children when they come from school. If you see children come from school, you must see every time when they come. If you pick them up, that is, and you have the time to pick them up, you will see gradual changes. One day they'll come into the car, they'll have something pink. What's that pink thing on your hand? Oh, my friend put Q-Tex. The next day they come, they have some funny bag with them. What's that? Oh, my friend gave me McDonald's. Your friend gave you McDonald's. What is that? Your child ate pork. You didn't even know it. The child ate pork. They didn't even know it. Because they call it. One child was eating pork for 3-4 years. They didn't even know they're eating pork. I said, how come you don't know it? Sheikh, they call it pepperoni, it's not pork. Pepperoni is pork, but they have a different label for it. So that child didn't know they were eating pork. They were eating pork, but because their friend says, no, this is not pork, this is pepperoni, they thought pork is different and pepperoni is different. But pepperoni is pork, am I right? That's right, pepperoni.
You make it from other animals too, but generally pepperoni, people, yeah. If you get it 100%, it's gonna.
Oh, so it's multiple animals.
Yeah, you can get it, like beef pepperoni and others, but if you get pizza, yeah. Pizza is 100% here.
So the child didn't know that. The child thought pepperoni was different. It sounds different. Therefore, the child, but the parents said, don't eat pork. They didn't say, don't eat pepperoni. You see, that's the confusion. Like, illa Iblis. Everyone may say that, except Iblis. Now the question is, who was Iblis? Was he a different species, or was he angel that became bad? And therefore, majority of the ulama say that Iblis was not amongst the angel, he was different. And inshallah, some other time we'll talk about who Iblis was.
In Surah Kahf, it says, Kana min al-jinn, right?
Now that's a different, exactly.
Kana min al-jinn,
fafasaqana min rabbi, exactly. And there's a huge ikhtilaf, Ibn Kathir talks about it, and we'll talk about it inshallah. Some other time also. But then the question is, what type of jinn he was? And وَمَا خَلَقُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the duty is to worship. Then he was a disobedient. What was his disobedience? And can jinn make istighfar? Will his istighfar, what is it like? All this the ulama have discussed, but we'll talk about that inshallah. أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Here Allah makes it very easy. He says, understand full well, he refused. Why? Because of his kibr. What is kibr? Batarul haq wa ghamtanas. The definition of kibr is to think low of people, is to avoid the truth, to refute the truth, to debate the truth, and argue the truth, and thereafter think low of people. And that's exactly what Shaytan had done. That, you know, I'm so powerful, I worship for so many years, I've done so many good things in my life, and why are you telling me what I must do and not do? Like, many brothers come here today, for example. I meet people all the time from different parts of the Middle East, Far East, everywhere they come, and they are so used to being in an Islamic environment that they confuse culture with Islam. Because you are in Islamic culture doesn't mean that you are a Muslim. I mean, Abu Jahl was part of the Muslims. It didn't make him a Muslim. It did not make him a Muslim at all. Now what happens is sometimes they come here, like today we had a brother, and I won't mention from which background. He says, but in my country, this is how we do things. That's what he says. In my country, this is how we do things. Therefore, this is the way everybody must do things. Well, this is not your country, number one. And everyone doesn't do things that way in your country. People sometimes do it this way, or sometimes people do it that way. So his idea is, I'm not going to listen to other people, because in my country we do things a certain way. That is, thinking low of other people. Therefore, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what does Allah say in the Quran? And what does the Prophet ﷺ say? And what does the Shariheen and the Muhaddithin, what do they say regarding this given? So regarding Shaytan, he was arrogant. He knew the truth, but he didn't want to follow it. So Allah says, I'll make it easy. I'm not going to say he was from the jinn. I'm not going to say he was from the angels. I'm not going to say he was from this. Kana min al-kafirin. Finish. I'll make it easy. Allah says he was from amongst those that committed kufr. He was amongst those that rejected. He was amongst those that didn't want to do good. And he was amongst those that wanted to reject the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, and I'll end off with this ayah. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, and he gave beautiful advice to Adam alayhi salam. وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. That, Adam, I'm telling you nicely, you and your wife. Now this is very important. You and your wife, both of you together, live in Jannah. What is Jannah? وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رغدا حيث شئتما. Enjoy, eat, do whatever you want to do. That's what Jannah is all about. It's for you to enjoy, it's for you to relax. First of all, anta wa zawjukal jannah. Allah is passing a message, a very important message. A man, in order for him to enjoy life, in order for him to enjoy life, and in order for him to gain closeness to Allah, he will need a partner. He will need a partner. If a man didn't need a woman, then we can say he will have never needed a woman in Jannah. Because, I mean, Jannah is Jannah, right? What, if you can be there alone, we'll say it's the greatest place. But Allah knows, even in Jannah, you need a partner. You need someone that you can enjoy life with and enjoy the goodness that you are part of. That's why Allah says, anta wa. That wa is there for a reason. You and your wife, in order for Jannah to be complete, Adam, you need a female. This is how important female are. Now what we say to a female is something else. That I got you the house, you must respect me. We don't realize when she came into the house got complete. No. We don't say that way. We say she came to the house, now I've got to feed her, now I've got to clothe her, now I've got to do this, now I've got to do that. We do like as though she's a zalim. Like as though she's a burden. As though she's a pain. And then we end up wondering why our children hate us later in life. If you hate their mother, then obviously they're going to hate you too. So it says here that Adam, you enjoy uskun. In the word sukun. Have tranquility. Enjoy yourself. And don't just enjoy yourself alone. You and your wife. And eat as much as you wish. And desire, and have your desires fulfilled. And whatever you wish to have fulfilled, have it fulfilled. And enjoy yourself to the best. But there is one condition. And this again applies to every married man or every man that wants to get married. That while you are enjoying with your wife, there are certain parameters you must fulfill. And if you breach those parameters, you are going to get hurt. And you and your wife have to make decisions together to become the best for yourself and your family. And this is again the same message over here. While you're enjoying, there are parameters. That's life. There's always going to be parameters. How fast you can drive, whether you must put seatbelt on, what you can eat, how much you can eat, how much you can pay, how much rent you can afford. There's always going to be parameters to everything. So the parameter here is, wala taqraba. Qaluba yaqrubu, do not come close. Wala taqraba hadhi shadra. Only one condition. Don't come close to this tree. Fatakuna min al-zalimin. It didn't say fatakuna min al-kafirin. Fatakuna min al-mushrikeen. No, it's fatakuna. And there's a reason for... Imagine Allah, how he's talking here. Don't come, because if you came close to this, you'll be amongst those that are zalim. A zalim is the one that oppresses first themselves before someone else. When I hurt you, I'm not hurting you. First I'm hurting myself. Then I'm hurting you. Because when I make a wrongful decision, that's why it says, ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't create zulm upon yourself and upon yourselves. So same thing here, it says, فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That both of you must not go, because if you did that, then you'll become amongst those people that are unjust, amongst those individuals that are disobedient and rebellious. And I do not want you to be amongst those that are rebellious. I want you to enjoy. That's why from this ayah we derive beautiful things. We derive that Allah wants you to enjoy. Allah wants your family to enjoy. That is why it comes in the hadith. There is nothing more beautiful in the eyes of Allah than when a man gets up. When a man gets up in the morning, he goes to pray. When he goes to pray, his wife, for example, hears the shower. She waits for him to come out. She goes in. She makes the wudu. She cleanses herself. She comes out. They both are sitting. He's making ibadah. She's making ibadah. The angels are saying, Ameen. The children in the next room, they hear some sound. They say, my mother is reading salah. My father is reading Quran. Let me come out and join them. It says, if you see a house like this, that house may have less food. That house may be very small. I can take a qasam in the name of Allah. That house will have more pleasure than the entire house of that city and state. That's what Allah is teaching us here. He's teaching us something very, very valuable, that enjoy your family, enjoy yourselves together. And if you did that within the parameters of deen, Allah will shower pleasure, beauty and beauty upon you and your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in understanding this few ayah and understand the benefit of it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals that do not become oppressive and volumes to ourselves and those around. May Allah make it such that we can appreciate the little we have and use it in a way that creates strength in ourselves, strength in our children, strength in our families, and that inshallah will give us benefit not only in this world but also in the hereafter.